free ball from CG43. They're in front.
This is flat out ridiculous.
From the beautiful left hand, in and out finish, the old fashioned way.
Newell gets to the basket with one to come. From there again.
Hello everyone, NBL Pocket Pod, Joseph here, Canyon's on the call. Today we're doing something different. We're calling it NBL Headlines or NBL Scramble, NBL Sentences. We're each going to say a sentence. If we like it, we're going to discuss it more. If we think it's a non-issue, we scoot on by. But here we go. Andrew Canyon, how are you?
I'm good, mate. We can't call it NBL Headlines. That's already taken by another mob.
That's a great Twitter account. Let's call it NBL sentence scam, NBL sentence scramble. How about that?
Okay, I like that. That's got a little bit of action to it.
Yeah,
I think I'm ready to go.
Certainly do.
Just point out at the outset that we were just talking and saying all these bloody NBL podcasts are too long, ours included.
Yeah.
We're going to try and shorten this up, make it snappy.
Under half an hour.
Let's see what we can do.
In that spirit, let's go. Do you want to go first? Or you want me to?
Yeah, I'll go first.
Do it.
Okay, number one. There's been talk about 3-point percentage being down.
Mm.
I think that's because advanced metrics have forced the game outwards and it's a false economy. Do you want to know more? Or are you going to take that sentence as read?
I want to know more.
Do you want to know more? Okay.
Do you have more
clarify,
to add to that?
We're each allowed like three challenges, aren't we? We're sort of saying roughly.
Yeah, three challenges, unless it just has to be said. But I don't know if I necessarily disagree with this. You're saying that guys shoot threes too often, chasing the algorithmic advantage, and you don't think there's, in actuality, that plays out well.
Yeah, and there's a whole generation of players that have just been drilled into them.
I'm not going to challenge only because I think it relates to one of my sentences later on. So, no, I think you're pretty accurate there.
Okay.
Moving on. My one is...
Jeez, this is going to be quick.
Yeah, this is the goal. If he had not got injured and continued at his output, Casey Prather would have been all NBL first team.
Oh, that's just a solid fact. Okay. There is no doubt about it. He was on par for a great season, considering how old he is as well.
Yeah.
Relatively.
Seventh in PER. No need to discuss it. Let's move on.
He's so good. I feel bad. Like, it's such a good sentence and just to leave you hanging.
Hey, sometimes
in the, like
the less said, the better.
Okay.
Hit me.
Okay, we might be done in 15 minutes.
The three of the better. We got 10 to get through. You'll be surprised. There'll be some hang-ups for sure.
All right, okay. New Zealand Breakers. They are too cheap to replace their already cheap imports, and they're going to sacrifice a chance at the finals because of it.
I mean, I do love to rubbish on some imports. Baker looked so bad in the fourth quarter in the last game they played against Perth, just like, missed free throws, turnovers, looked bad. They are cheap. They've got a new owner this year. Matt Walsh, I think, sold out of the franchise. I don't think we need to discuss this.
Yep.
I think you're absolutely right.
Okay.
And their record is in the toilet. They're not going. Even if they brought in a star, even if they brought in Anthony Lamb, who was really, really good a couple of years ago,
yeah,
they're not going nowhere. They're done.
Now, what are they on the ladder? Let me just quickly check in on them. New Zealand Breakers, second last on the ladder, with 14 games done already, with 4 wins and 10 losses.
So halfway through the season.
Yeah, why spend more money? Just go with what you got. Yeah.
Okay. I want to ask, this is both a statement and a question in one. It pertains to Jalen Adams and Mason Jones. I'm going to give you two stat lines. You tell me which one is which. 13 points per game, 41% from the field, 5 assists, 3 turnovers. 11 points per game, 2.8 assists, 2 turnovers per game. Which one's which?
I reckon the first one's Mason Jones.
The first one was Adams.
Ah.
Just fractionally, 2 points per game, 2 points per game more, and a little bit more assists per game. But that's how bad they are. So my statement is, Mason Jones was and is a better addition to an NBL team than Jalen Adams, even if you take only their on-court production and play into account.
You know, I want to delve deeper into this one. I'm going to throw my penalty challenge flag.
You please explain.
Onto the field. Yep. I want to know more about this because I also like the opportunity to rubbish on a couple of imports.
Sure. Both who are gone. One in kind of spectacular fashion. to Jalen Adams. Jesus Christ. To play so poorly and lethargically. And then as your teammate gets hurt, not give the slightest fuck on the baseline. That is cold. That's some cold shit. That's some cold stuff.
I actually didn't watch that game where he got injured, so I kind of missed a lot. I've heard a bit of the talk about Adams, you know, sort of being casual and not really getting back. Mm-hmm. But have you got more? Can you give me a bit more insight?
I can. Jones actually thought, well, first of all, Jones got cut very early in the piece. Did he play five, maybe seven? I don't think he made seven games. So he got less than a quarter of the season, had the horrible preparation to the season. I think he was on the ground in Perth like 3 days before their first game, replacing
Bright. He played well against Japan.
That's true.
He played Japanese team, did it, right?
Okay. If he was with the team for longer than a week before their first regular season
game.
Yeah,
it wasn't long though. No, you're right.
John Riley team of like, oh, kind of roll the balls out, kind of fun. Oh, by the way, you'll be replacing Bryce Cotton, the greatest player we've ever had in Australia, you know, arguably with Gaze. Yeah, good luck, mate. Here you go. Here's your number. You know, lace them up. Just talk about set up to fail. But they have such a similar game, don't they? Kind of plotty around the floor. Not super fast, but kind of shifty. Mm. They were identical players. And I just like Jones a bit better. I just think he's a bit of a bigger, better body. And Adams, I think, was either A, breaking down or breaking in two. I don't know what happened there. But there's a lot of shit talk about Adams and his attitude and so forth.
Yep.
But I just looked at him on court and thought, this guy's just poking around the field. He doesn't care.
No, he just wasn't ever in it, was he? But he was the same way in Sydney. Like for a lot, I was surprised even the MVP.
That's the other thing as well.
Because his attitude never seemed great.
Mm. Don't know. Yeah, that massive dunk on Patterson to end that game, and that was pretty memorable. Mm, but
that's true.
I mean, they talk about his attitude and everything, but we've had now two dud years in Sydney, I want to say, and now this. You know, Jones, at least we don't have the lengthy resume of fails and bad performances. Yep. So I think
maybe just split the two, Joe. Mm-hmm. Have you got you've read out a few stats there. Mm-hmm. Just wondering, have you got the number of dummy spits per game for each of them?
Jones was bad for that. Jones would have been worse. Adams internalized and kept it to himself. Jones, when it didn't go his way, he pissed and moaned. But I actually didn't hate Jones. He had a beautiful jumper. It just, his game did not translate to the defense played at the point of attack in the NBL, and he got overwhelmed.
No.
And wasn't prepared for it. And that's too bad for him. But his career is resurrectable. Can I ask you a question, Kenny? Jalen Adams, like, is this obviously the end of his stint in Australia, I would think.
He's cooked. He's not welcome back.
No, it's done.
Visa revoked. See you later. Go enjoy your time in Puerto Rico.
Can I ask you another question? And before we get off this topic, what year did he win MVP? And why did Bryce Cotton not win it that year? Did Bryce Cotton have the broken hand? I can't remember. Or the groin strain?
I think it was a broke. Yeah, I think it was. Yeah, a few games missed. I think it was all. I'm strongly of the opinion that it was just boredom.
Yep.
Like, he'd won the few before it. He was still right there.
Oh, and they had a massive record. And they won it that year. Like, they were on fire. So it was like, team lined up. He lined up. Yeah, sorry, end of it.
No, so I think that's really what it came to. And Adams had a good season. And East Coast, you know, big town.
Yeah,
I think
for sure.
There's always a tendency to try and pump up.
And that's one of those when teams, Paul Smith was still entertained and engaged in this league.
Yeah.
We've gone off topic, and I'm sorry, but remember when he used to just be a Twitter fiend and energetic about this league? And now
he was on the baseline with Bogut.
Yeah, and know, wore his funny shirt, and he was in the media and doing interviews. And then I think, oh shit, this is getting expensive. Had that horrible fallout with Shane Heal. And he's just like, this sport and this team is not worth my time. And he sold off a bunch of it. Did something recently with Pongrass.
Hold that thought.
Oh, okay, let's move on.
You're extending into one of my other
lines. Let's go into sentences. Sorry. Keep going.
Okay, it's my turn, is it? Mm-hmm. Okay, number three. This is the most preordained season we have had in about 6 or 7 years. And Joe, when I say that, 6, 7... Yeah, you didn't get that reference, do you?
I didn't get that at all.
You have no children in your life, do you?
I don't know if that's on you or on me. No,
there is going to be a whole bunch of dads out there going, "Fucking Canyon."
Okay, all right. Well, that's amazing. That's for the fans. As in preordained, as in this is predictable. I totally agree.
Yeah, no need to discuss it. We already know.
Moving on to number three, I've got here, Adelaide have the worst bench of any NBL contender this season. That's out of Melbourne, Sydney, Tasmania and Perth. They're the contenders in my mind.
Melbourne's worst bench.
Melbourne, like, who comes off their bench? I wish I had the names in front of me. I don't, but like Sydney off their bench.
Daniels, they got Bowen, Illy.
Kwatnoi boss their bench. He bosses their bench for me where he's strong.
Yeah.
Taz have got a few players I can't really remember. Perth have got,
Adelaide's
like,
got Rasmus.
Adelaide would kill for Henschel. Adelaide would kill for a Henschel coming off their bench, and he has not played great. So,
yeah, all right.
Moving on. Next.
Yep, that's fine. I'll accept it. Okay, by signing David Duke, Danny Mills has once again failed his way to success.
Oh, it's such a great statement. Do we discuss it some more? I'm gonna go. Let's have a wee chat about it. I want to, in terrible way saying, I want to talk about it and ask a question. Of the three signings this week, Liberty Freeman in Brisbane, Duke in Perth.
Again.
And who's the third recent signing? Oh, Adelaide signing, the guy of the NBA. Which one of the three do you like the most?
I like the Adelaide guy.
Really? I like Duke.
Really?
Yeah. Okay. Now, what was your statement again? Failed his way to success. Like Duke.
By signing Duke, Danny Mills has once again failed his way to success.
I think he has failed his way to success where he signed a dud import and then got a good one just due to timing or whatever. And I like Duke. I think Duke's this incredible body. He just looks so strong out there. What I want to say is you said again, when is another instance where Mills has failed his way to success?
Oh, God. Well,
it's your statement. Question. Yeah, no, I hate to come down on you with a wording.
I feel like there's such a body of work with Danny Mills. It's hard to single out. It's more the vibe at this point. Like, I don't have the transactions in front of me. Nick Tan is very good about having all these transactions of Danny Mills ahead of him, in front of him. But
he's got the Mills bills, yep.
Yeah, yeah. So I don't have the receipts, but I do know that Mills has kind of sucked for a long time, and a lot of Wildcats fans feel that. So I don't know. I'm coming in highly unprepared here. If I'd done my research, I could probably tell you.
That's fine. I'll say this. I'm going to zag here. I actually like the team he's built. I think the team's really good, especially when I don't think the Cotton thing was in his hands. I feel like the league wanted Cotton out. They made massive offers, sort of using Larry's money as a puppet through Brisbane and Adelaide, and made sure he did not return to the Wildcats, where he didn't really want to return anyway. I can't deny that. They didn't have no say in it. But I feel like in the absence of Cotton, I mean, they had this huge brain drain, this amazing player leave, and they built a really good team.
Yep.
I like to watch them play. So I'm not as bad.
Wow.
Jumping on to the next one and staying with Perth, my fourth one. Without Jaron Riley for 8 weeks, the Wildcats are no longer a top four team.
Oh, I love that. That's a very good statement. As we saw, like, Donto Russo-Nance is not going to get you to the promised land.
No.
So that's a solid
statement.
They
finally got balance and now it's gone.
Yeah, can Duke play point guard?
No.
No. Okay.
No. You agreeing with that? You moving on?
It's a good statement. Yeah, let's move on. Okay, number five. Adam Ford is a great coach, even if the record says otherwise.
I'm going to call a mulligan here. Like, we kind of need to discuss this, or at least discuss it quickly and move on, because my number six was Adam Ford is a good coach and Cairns were doomed from the start, was my statement. So we're like-minded. I just think the Wardenburg injury changed their whole commissioning and plan, and Lees had to play these major minutes when he's just a foul machine, like, cha-ching. And it's just screwed up their whole thought process. I actually think he's a great coach. And the way they played against Adelaide. I just thought, this guy's making spinning bronze from straw or whatever the saying is. Yeah, I rate him. Do you agree with your statement or are you being contrarian?
No, I actually agree with my statement. I really like him. I think he's been dealt a rough hand with his team. And I think what's happened is they paid Jack McVay so much money.
Agreed.
And then I think they expected Admiral Schofield to be a lot better than he is.
I thought Schofield was going to be great, and he's been a 5/6 out of 10. Just hasn't been there.
Yeah. And I just think they don't have the capacity to dump him. If that was a big market team, I reckon he'd be shown the door and they'd bring in somebody good and Ford would be looking a lot better. But he's just having to work with what he's got.
I want to make this comment. In a vacuum, if you just took away all the uniforms and all the names, and I said to you, hey, Canyon, there's a team out there. And this is not a put down of this player. I just want to make the point. There's a team out there in the NBL in 2025 that's playing Kyle Adnam anywhere between 10 and 20 minutes a game. Where would you place that team without knowing any of the other players? You'd think, oh, shit, they must have a guard slim rotation. You know, so yeah, I think even if that was Melbourne with their strength, you'd be like, oh, what's gone wrong?
Something's gone wrong. Something is not going according to plan. It's not great. I mean...
Well, I'm going to scrap my number six because that was my number six.
Okay.
And I'll give you number five. Josh King is the coach of the year, or will be the coach of the year. Currently, they're 8 wins, 3 losses. Southeast Melbourne head coach.
I'm going to challenge you on this one.
Oh.
So...
Okay. Who's a better candidate? Oh, it's Vickerman.
It's Vickerman. It has to be Vickerman. I mean...
Did he win it last year?
I think he did, actually.
Could this be the Jalen Adams Coach of the Year storyline fatigue and they give it to Josh King, who has been good, but Vickerman's been better, yeah.
It's true. And Josh King's a way more sort of personable guy. You know, he's media friendly, looks young. Looks like he's
super energetic on the sideline.
Yep.
The accountability play to play. I Foxwell made an error in the game the other day, did something kind of hot dog, and he just wrenched him unceremoniously. And I thought, this is this coach does not let anything slide. I really respect him.
I love him. But I don't think after all the hype we've had around Melbourne being this amazing team, I do not think they're going to go through and not give Vickerman the title.
Even if they had a tied record, let's say South East Melbourne win 2 games less than Melbourne United finish second, you still think it's United and Vickerman for Coach of the Year?
Yep, I do. I just can't see past it. What I will say about Josh King is he gets his teams playing like the Perth Wildcats played defense back when Brad Robbins and Damian Martin first hit the court.
Incredible point of attack defense.
I haven't seen anything like it. I love it. It's so fun to watch.
Good team. I'd never thought they'd be half as good as this. They're really good.
Yeah, yeah.
They're legit. Imagine if they got rid of... But if Taz don't pull their stuff together, they're that top 4 or 5 for sure.
If they got rid of Maldonado, or whatever his name is, and got a really good import... That would be
a star, man.
They'd definitely rewrite up there.
What you got for me, Kane?
Okay, number six. NBL refereeing is terrible, especially Grigul and Widgeon.
I'm not going to discuss it, but just for the folks at home, who are the two?
You're not going to get fined, Joe. You're not.
This is not much to say. Like, you know, this topic is like, I agree with you, but I have nothing to add other than, sometimes they're good, sometimes they're bad. But I do want to ask for the people at home, can you clarify who are those two that you especially don't like?
I think they're both Americans, aren't they? I think is Grigul American? I'm not even sure anymore. But he's the one that goes crazy handing out tech fouls. And Widgeon is the, dude who's been with the league for a couple of years. He loves a tight T-shirt.
I know him well.
And he's slow on the whistle. He will blow a foul a good 4 seconds after it's happened.
Players hate that because they get fouled. They're looking and then they get it. And they even though they've got it, they've had to have the aggro. Yeah, fair enough. No debates there about the referee.
Not a fan.
I'm moving on to 7 because we had an alignment on 6. My 7 is Dabble can go and get fucked. But the clubs are almost as complicit in the whole betting affair that Australian sport finds itself in.
Joe, I'm backing you in.
Okay.
And that sort of ties into another one of my future points.
Can I know we said we were, I worked too hard on this. I want to make 3 points very, very quickly. That fucking ad from Dabble. And listen, Dabble, you put yourself out there in the ads. Like, if you're going to do that, you're going to be criticized or at least spoken about. And this is happening now.
Mm-hmm.
Those ads are cheap. They're terrible. Oh, surely the Dabblers aren't having this. I've seen it 1,000 times. And it reminds me of when Mr. Burns in The Simpsons takes over the TV station and puts himself in a sitcom. And it's like, Mr. Burns, you're home. Yes. Already? Yeah. Everyone's this fake laughter track. I'm like, they're the most seen people in Australia, the Dabble guys. I mean, they're like Tom Cruise.
I wish we were recording this side by side because right now we would be on a couch and I'd be able to jump on you.
Oh, yeah. Oh, It's like, oh, we're having so much fun, ripping you off, and destroying the country, and driving the suicide rate through the roof. Oh, we're all having fun. We're just like you at home. It's so condescending. I hate it so much. But I do want to say this.
Horrible.
And the reason why I want to take a particular swipe at Dabble is unlike the other ones, which skew pretty young, Dabble skews really young with its graphics and its sense of humor, like, ha, 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 Family Guy and all that sort of shit. Not Family, it's Family like Guy,
social
TV
media,
show.
Social media kind of gambling, isn't it?
And it's just so, it's clearly going for like 18 and under and up to like early 20s, and it's shameful. And the reason why I say the clubs are complicit in the whole affair is, I don't know if you've noticed this as you've gotten older, but sports has just become so young. It's about kids and families. And as a result, betting has seen that and gone, yep, young people, we're going to make it appeal to young people. You go to any game and it's like, instead of just being an older, mature affair, like betting could, the ads for betting could be like, you know, having a cigar and George Clooney's in an airport lounge. It's like, hey guys, I got a bit of pocket money later on the... And clubs do the same shit with they don't want guys after work in suits having beers. Like, they want the family of four and the money and all that. Yep. So there's a bit of thing going back and forth. I know you said we weren't going to talk about it, but I did want to have
You're exactly right.
That's it. We chatted about it without wanting to, but go on. Your sentence.
Yep. Fuck those guys. Number seven. Tasmania have lost that positive vibe that they had in the first few years.
I want to talk about this just quickly, like League Dad, no more. League, like, Angry Dad.
Yeah, yeah.
Lost a bit of that. He's very cantankerous down there.
He's curmudgeonly.
Yeah. There's not
much what's gotten into him.
I think...
It seems like the team doesn't seem to have as much fun. It seems like everything's hard work at the moment.
Yeah, and he's always had that kind of... Scott Roth we're talking about. He's always had that kind of short... sort of style, but now it's very tight-lipped and not very kind of, there's not very few smiles. I totally agree that that's a huge part of their problem. They're very tight. Agreed.
He just seems like a bit of a prick.
Yeah, yeah, he does. And it's a contrast to how he was in his first couple of years.
Yeah, yeah. And the team is just not real. I mean, they've been hit by injuries as well, to be fair. But...
The team's good. Like, they got killer imports. Magne's injury. Like, I think Will Magne's one of the best players we've got in the country. But, he just keeps getting hurt and it's so frustrating.
Every year he's injured. Every year. So you've got to go in assuming.
And even in games he plays, he's kind of hobbling around a little bit. You know, it's always a very proper player. But when he's on fire, when he's capable, he's really good.
Yeah, no backups now. No Marcus Lee, no Krizlovic.
No, they needed him to really stay healthy and it just hasn't happened.
So I've got an aging Deng.
Yeah. I've got number eight here. The problems that have plagued and led to the death of the British Basketball League, the BBL, in the UK, have seedlings here in the legal tussle between Kesselman and Novelli of the Illawarra Hawks.
I'm intrigued by this, Jay. I don't necessarily question it.
I don't really have a lot to add, even if you would. I mean, I do, but not especially. People can look into it.
It's going to be an interesting one to watch play out.
But just for people, just to give context to the question or the statement, the BBL over there had a bunch of money where they were looking to make a real professional league and get money from, I think, FIBA or someone. And this league sprung up and said, like, yeah, we're the best outfit. And then everyone's like, okay, show us where your money comes from and so forth. And they weren't able to do it, much like what's happening with Kesselman. And as a result, the whole deal just totally fell through and they just halted it all. And in relation to that, the NBL, the Novelli, he wants all clubs to have a 10% stake in the league to make 100%, right? Which makes sense.
Yeah.
And, you know, 7 out of 10 owners in the NBL are in favor of that. And that's still playing out. And that's set to get really, really, really dirty. But, anyway, that's that.
Yeah. Good luck getting any calls in the finals if you make it, Illawarra.
Exactly.
Brisbane are the new Adelaide. Baffling decisions at every turn.
I don't know how many red flags I've got, like flags on the play I can talk about. No, of course they are. Agreed.
Yep.
I didn't think
there was much controversy there.
Do you think Freeman Liberty's returned to the team because he's like, oh, Adams is out? Yeah, I'll come back.
It must be, hey?
Can't be coincidental, can it?
But Yeah, and then the way that apparently I saw the one little bit of reporting I saw was like that he called Mitch Norton and a few other players and explained himself and they all welcomed him back. Probably they're all going, yeah, we felt it too, but we just couldn't bail. Oh,
yeah, we're under, like, we're under so tighter contract. We don't have the outs either.
Yeah.
Did you see on Twitter? Back. No, you wouldn't have seen on Twitter because you're off Twitter now, but Adams asked on Twitter, like, Australians, what does a sook mean? So it's like, who's hit him up calling him a sook? That's funny. Moving on, number nine I've got here. A lack of talent is to blame for the blowouts this season, meaning expansion is a mistake and a fantasy or a money grab.
I was so close to putting an expansion line very similar to this in one of my questions. I bailed out on it at the last minute. I'm glad you mentioned it.
And this when we talked about 3-point percentage before, this happens on yeah. with that. Do you want to discuss it?
How much time we got? 20 minutes. We're doing all right. Yeah, let's talk this one for a minute.
This is the only point I want to make. At the 2000 Olympics, 11 players played in the NBL preceding that Olympics. Preceding it? Yeah, following on from.
Yep.
I don't suppose you can name them, can you? 2000 Olympic team.
What, 11 of the Olympic players?
From the 2000 Olympic team?
Oh, God. Vlahov, Ricky Grace, Shane Hill, Gaze. Yep. They had Longley. They had Tony Ronaldson.
I don't think Ronaldson was there.
Brett Maher. Glenn Saville, was he?
No. Smith.
Jason Smith. Yeah. And then, my memory is starting to fade.
Luke Longley was on that team. Mark Bradkey was on that team. So 11 of the 12.
Solid team.
Very solid team. I would have made a change with the starting lineup and put Grace in there, but that's neither here nor there.
Oh, so would have I.
Four Barry of the Barnes five starters from an Olympic team returned to the NBL the next season. Yeah. Guess how many of the 12 who went to Paris even play in the NBL?
Yeah, what is it, Magne?
Is one.
Nathan Sobey didn't make it.
No, he did not. One player you've already Chris mentioned Golding. In our chats. Golden didn't make it.
Oh, no, he didn't.
He didn't play in Paris.
Yeah, who's the other one?
The other two, you've got Dellavedova. He made the Olympic team for some reason. Poor Dally.
Xavier Cooks didn't.
No, Xavier Cooks didn't. McVeigh, Dellavedova, and Magne. Yeah. They're the three of the 12. So, and also none of them are starters on the Boomers team, the starters in the NBL.
So that's
what I'm saying. The talent is not returning to the NBL because the G League is – the NBA dream is much closer. The Japanese league has taken off. So you just look at that number. If 11 of the 12 guys are coming back from one Olympic team and then only three are the next in the future, the local talent's not as good. And that's why just guys are missing these open shots sometimes. That's why these games are bad, but I've spoken too much.
Nah, it's all good points. I don't disagree. Imagine if add another team to this and... Whew.
Yeah, you know, like already Kyle Adam is close to retiring and all of a sudden he's getting minutes somewhere. And I'd hate to rag on him. I'm not doing that. It's just that's the surface level. So you're just constantly chasing further and further down the line.
Yeah, I mean, you got Matt Kenyon still getting minutes. Like, he can play defense. Big deal. The guy can't shoot at all.
Nah.
Like, it just...
And even like Jesse Wagstaff, who has his place in the NBL, I'm not denying it, but... Is he being pushed for that spot? He was a shoo-in.
He shouldn't. He shouldn't still
tell
be
me there shouldn't be like a player who's knocking on the door for that spot who can jump and rebound and everything. Like, he's as safe as houses.
Good point.
All right, moving on.
Okay, my next comment. I feel sorry for players from the 2000s era. Everybody remembers the 90s, Andrew Gaze, Leonard Copeland, all that, and the 2010s. But nobody recalls the 2000s. Won't somebody please just think of Matt Burston?
I'm throwing a flag on this because I think this is great. I think the 2000s NBL is a fantastic period where it's, are we going to have a league? There's some really good players, but they're getting a bit thin. The Olympic team's a bit so-so, dropping games to New Zealand and stuff like this in qualifying. It's a great time. There'll be a lot of funky documentaries made if you wanted to do that. And you're absolutely right.
The Singapore Slingers.
Oh my God.
They had that dude with the afro that won like the MVP of the league.
I do remember him. And Hunter Pirates. You said Hunter Pirates? Oh man.
Yeah.
And that's the uniforms, just the glossy uniforms, like the time, gloss, the fashion for God.
Baggy as hell.
Oh, they were dreadful. And I don't think a single team had a logo on their jersey. Like the Wildcats just had Wildcats in text. Like they all just went to the same printing press to get these shitty uniforms. Funny. And the stadiums and the Blaze, the Gold Coast Blaze.
Oh, yeah.
What a time.
Also, like, don't you feel sorry? No. If you're a player, seriously, if you're a player in that era, you'd be jacked off, wouldn't you?
You'd fall in the worst possible chasm for it. Absolutely. You didn't get paid and it was shit and just fleecing money, firepower taking your money. Oh, man. And that's what someone like Mark Worthington, who you know has hung around the NBL and kind of still talks about it and engages with it. A lot of the guys from the 2000s, like just they're all disappeared. They're just like,
they just bowed out. I'm struggling. Get paid, now
don't care.
I came up with this line. I'm struggling to think of anybody beyond Matt Burston. Yeah. I mean, bloody hell.
Oh, there's some fun imports who kind of...
Yeah,
Cortez just Cortez Groves, you know.
Yeah, and what was that? The guy that played for the Wildcats, then he went to Melbourne and he was triple double machine. Oh my gosh.
Oh, Rashad Tucker.
Rashad Tucker. Yeah,
and you look at those imports, you're like, I wonder where they'd be on the scale of today's imports. Like, probably actually kind of okay, but
actually, Rashad Tucker was pretty damn good.
I'll say this, and you mentioned Andrew Gaze and Copeland. Like, I think it's a standard, I think it's in their contract that they must get like the sort of ego stroke at least 5 to 10 times a game. People out there, if you want to play a dangerous game, if you have no regard for your liver and you want a drinking game, every time they kind of do that nudge in the commentary of nudge, oh, Gaze, look, Hobart would have done that, blah, blah, blah. You drink every time they mention that, you will be on fucking planet Mars by halftime. It's obnoxious. I can't stand it. I'm over it. I get it. They were great. But it's 30 years ago. Stop, please. Really, Copeland? Did you play 40-some minutes ago? Why don't you tell me for a... Jesus Christ, man. They're good guys. They're great. They're amazing for the game, but I'm just saying it's enough.
Yep. It's time to move on.
It's time to move on. Okay.
Yeah.
My number 10, my last one, is Boddy, Nodge, and Joey Wright make the best NBL content with the No Flop Zone.
Yes. There is no arguing. I love that show.
The best. Best video content.
It's so good.
Joey's fantastic. They have a laugh. They're having fun. Really good show.
Yep. People love it. Watch it if you haven't.
Watch it on YouTube. If you can't, subscribe on Apple and get the pod, but the video experience.
Is there a podcast version? I didn't even know there was a podcast version.
Yeah, it's
available
podcast version, but if you're not watching it, it's an actual TV show. It's a TV show and a distant pod. It's a good show.
Yeah, I like it.
That's my 10, Kenyon. What you got?
My last one is tying back to some of your earlier comments, as promised. The league remains as financially parlous as ever, but it is hidden by rich owners and gambling revenue.
Okay, I definitely want to flag this, and it's very similar to what we spoke about with the BBL. Can I get a clarification, just a thesaurus, on the word you used?
Parlous. This is a great opportunity to use the word parlous. You know, I don't get that often.
I've never heard it before. I'm excited to hear the definition.
So parlous, full of danger or uncertainty. Precarious.
100%. That's just the NBL.
Dire, dreadful, awful, terrible, appalling. There's some thesaurus.
You get a great education here. I would agree with all those.
See, this is the content we bring that other podcasts do not.
And I think
we give you an education and entertainment.
I can't wait to talk about this. First of all, I look at Melbourne and I just think, really, like Aaron Sanzoni is running that team and paying payroll and money. And not saying he's not paying players or Melbourne aren't, but you're telling me he's not rolling up to Larry's office and they're kind of making the decisions and then he's enacting as a proxy. I just look at it and go, how can that not be? Why would that not be the case?
Yeah.
And then I just look at other stuff. I mean, Brisbane, like how are Brisbane ever going to turn a profit? That game where Prather got hurt and Adams was lethargic, there was two and a bit thousand people in the room, tops.
Yep.
Both baseline ends were completely deserted. And I just this is not related to your statement, but I want to make it. The Ignite Cup, and I've had 11, this would have been it. Is that a money-making expedition? How have you seen the commercial value of that, kind of relating it to your question?
I do not understand that value. Because surely the TV revenue is not worth that much. Unless the dabble ads are paying their way through it.
Well,
but
possibly.
Gate takings are down.
Pitiful. And I think this is where, and if Mark Arena and other owners who are of the seven, presumably Mark Arena is one of the seven who's disenfranchised but and wants change within the financial structure of it. But I think if you ask those owners, were you consulted about the Ignite Cup and whether it was going to be part of membership prices, or was it sent to you in a the idea for the Ignite Cup was sent to you on the back of a greasy napkin and you've just had to piece it together? Because there's no way that you can, in good consciousness, go, yep, let's have a thing, and it's not going to be part of your membership. That is crazy. Mm. And I think they got really financially greedy. And instead of going, you know what, we'll do the same number of games, but just designate a normal regular season game as an Ignite game rather than adding schedule, that would have been a better proof of concept. Instead, and it's my theory, that they thought, nah, we got a deal from 7 and 10 or someone to show these games, and we're getting money for it, and you know, Channel 7 is just going to buy the Ignite Cup, and then that got pulled off the table at the last minute, and the NBL's just like, well, clubs, too bad, you work it out, like, and that's why these owners are upset. So coming back to your thing about financially precarious, it seems to me that things happen in the NBL that are just so seedy of pants, and then clubs have to work it out on the fly, that it's impossible to generate something lasting, maybe not even a decent profit, but something year on year and lasting. What do you think?
Look, I just think it's propped up by rich guys having this as their plaything, and it's a tax write-off, entertainment value, you know. How does a team from Illawarra that sells 3,500 tickets a game afford JaVale McGee? They don't, unless they've got a really rich owner.
We could sit down and work out what they're making in revenue. You know, the tiny stadium, if they sold out every game, you know, 5,000 seat stadium, $100 a ticket, like, we could get a rough revenue kind of, because they're not making revenue anywhere else. And they're not getting the gambling money. Yeah. So we could work it out and be like, mate. And then you factor in rent and payroll and da-da-da. I'm like, this is as thin as anything. And you're absolutely right. And these wealthy guys are just like, here's the one thing the league's got going for it. You know, one of the owners, you know, let's say it's Grant Kelly, you know, makes money in real estate, plenty of $1 million in the thing. But what are you going to do, buy Manchester City off some Saudi investor for $5 billion? Like, you haven't got anywhere near that amount of money. So it is still a sports team. You get to have, you know, a little bit of an ego hit of like, oh, I own a sports franchise.
Yeah.
You know, it's the same as like, oh, I own a nice pair of slippers or whatever.
Mm.
And I think that there are so few sports teams up for sale that the NBL's like, hey, you know, we're second, third, fourth, fifth best, but, you know, gives a, we're a lot less expensive than Chelsea, Liverpool.
Yeah.
Football team, soccer team.
You can't.
What are you going to do, buy a fucking pickleball team? Go ahead.
You can't buy an AFL team, really, can you? Because that's all kind of their kind of club-based still. So you're never really going to own one of those.
So it's like,
you can own a basketball team.
It's like, this is kind of cruel, but you know when you can, like, you can buy a star? You're like, it's like you own planet Cligon B. It's called, like, the land of milk and honey now. It's yours. And it's like, okay.
And I'm going to call it the 36ers.
Yeah. It's like, cool, you own a star. I mean, you own a whole planet. I mean, it could be made of rubies, could have... Or it'll be unreachable until the year 5,000 billion and you've wasted your money. That's the NBL.
So that's our NBL statements. Let us know what you think. Not on Twitter, because I won't see it.
You know what? Send us an email. NBLpocketpodcast@gmail.com. I swear to God, I'll check it for the first time in 18 months and answer them. Canyon, this was fun.
It's always fun.